Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. I am Jason. I got Riley with me right now, and hopefully Kevin will be joining us here pretty soon. He's out for dinner with his wife for her birthday, so we got to let him have that moment. Hopefully he'll be able to join us, though, because I don't know about you, Riley. Kevin said he had the topics for this week, so we're just going to be flying blind till he gets here.
Yeah, I didn't bring anything with me to the table, so... Hey, just hang out for 20 minutes, and once he shows up, guys, the show will get going.
Yeah. It's just going to be silence until then, right? Wow, we can't do that. We got to come with a little something, I guess. We got to at least bring up some topics. But I don't know. I mean, the world of professional wrestling has been somewhat quiet until last night. I mean, really, it wasn't a whole lot that happened Friday night on SmackDown, really, of note. I really can't think of anything. Well, Monday Night Raw, though. Let's start here with Monday Night Raw. From R-Truth in the back with his segment with Damian Priest, where he's selling merch and giving him his cut of the money, to being added to the graphic, the Judgment Day graphic. Did you notice that?
Yes. Live, rock, love.
Dude, come on. How freaking amazing was that?
I'll be honest. I was getting like tired of Judgment Day. Like, they're not really doing anything. They're just blabbling about. There's no leader. They're just kind of getting really dull for me.
Yeah.
And now they brought R-Truth in, and man, I'm hooked again.
Yeah, it was kind of same old with them. Like, they would interrupt a segment or be interrupted or something like that. But now it's definitely refreshing. And we've made the comparison before, but it's kind of like Sammy when he joined the Bloodline, very similar to that, adding that comic relief for whatever reason, just breathes a whole different life into the group that wasn't there before. And dude, the Tom and Nick Mysterio, like that.
I've never met Nick, but he's a pretty good guy.
I saw him interviewed on Busted Open, and he was the Busted Open is like Mark Henry, Bubba Ray, or Bully Ray, whichever you know him as, depending on, you know, who you see it. And then this other guy, his name's blanking me for whatever reason right now. I don't know why. Oh my gosh, what is his name? The host of the show. dude,
I know the other two guys.
Yeah, and like, I know the name, like, I know the other guy just because I've listened to the show, but Dave LaGreca, oh my gosh, wow, okay. So Dave LaGreca is the other guy. He's more the host of the show, and then he has the other guys kind of come on. It was Mark Henry and Bully Ray with Dave, and they were interviewing R-Truth. And man, just some of the stuff that he was saying is just so off the wall. Even in his interviews, man, he's all over the place. And Bubba goes, you know, Truth, I was there for the first My Bad segment. He goes, or the first time you said My Bad. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, we were in Austria, and you said, Australia, what's up? And the whole crowd, like, and you're like, oh, my bad, my bad, my bad. And he said he legitimately did not know the difference between Austria and Australia. The other thing he brought up, I guess there was a spot that they did at the one of the Royal Rumbles. It might have been like 2015 or something like that. And Bubba was like, he goes, Truth, why didn't you do the "What's up" at the 2015 Royal Rumble? And he goes, you remember that all these years later? And we talked about John Cena being his childhood hero, like that. It's just golden stuff. But yeah, the stuff that he's been doing with Judgment Day has just been great. And it made that match, that tag match, was entertaining because it was like he would do things to hurt them, but then do things to help them at the same time. And it was just this whole weird dynamic. Yeah. I feel bad for Miz.
Yeah. He comes out with them. He comes out with them.
Yeah.
And then he pulls out the money and drops it all over the floor or all over the mat. And they're like, yeah, Finn will take that. Dominic will take
right.
it. And JD's like, where's mine? You're not part of the group. Like, how great is that coming from R-Truth?
Right. And when he rolled out of the ring, he was complaining about Finn stomping him. Like, it's, it wasn't supposed to hurt. Oh man. Oh, too good. Too good. Let's see.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's pretty much the whole show.
You know, I think Jinder Mahal and Seth Rollins had a good match.
They did. Yeah, it was a really good match.
The only thing I can say bad about it is I'm really sick of all these people kicking out of everything. You know, Seth gets hit with the briefcase. He kicks out. He gets hit with that. He kicks out. He gets hit with that. He kicks out. He gets beat with everything. He kicks out. But Jinder Mahal gets one hit. Oh, it's over.
Yeah, but not a lot of people get out of the curb stomp, though.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, though, when Seth got hit with the briefcase and then Jinder hit the Coloss, I legitimately thought it was over.
Yep, me too.
So, I think that's why they do that, for that shock value, though.
Well, you're not... It just takes away from it, you know? Like, I like when you get to WrestleMania and you get hit with your finisher three times and kick out. That's fun. You never know who's going to win. But now it's like everyone's kicking out of everything. And we'll...
I got you. So you like it better when it's a bigger event like WrestleMania. Like, it makes more sense to you for something like that. I could see that. Okay.
I mean, there's an argument. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely an argument to be made there. I mean, I'm sure a lot of other people probably feel the same way. And honestly, that kind of led into, you know, one of the other things I want to talk about was the match between Hook and Samoa Joe. And that was a very huge topic of conversation. I know we talked a little bit before we started to record. You didn't see, or you kind of weren't watching the match that closely, but there was a point in the match, you know, Samoa Joe was pretty dominant through most of the match. And there's a point where he hit the muscle buster, and, you know, Hook, to kind of his credit, how he kept kind of coming back. He kicked out of the muscle buster at one. And it's not that he kicked out of the muscle buster that people have an issue with. It's the fact that he did it on the one count as opposed to the two count that everybody has a problem with. And, you know, I'm just going to read to you some of the comments on X, if you will indulge me just a moment here. I have it pulled up and prepared because, you know, I'm a good podcast host that comes prepared for a show. Let's see what we got here. This is from Unpaid Critic. Not a fan of Hook no selling all of Joe's offense after selling the table spot. Hook no selling the muscle buster twice makes Samoa Joe look weak. It also makes the previous opponent of Samoa Joe's look stupid. So, what are your thoughts on that comment?
I mean, I wouldn't go to say it makes him look weak. It just, to me, it just looks like poor writing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's he took some pretty hard hits. And, like, I get it. He's a tough guy, but you can only take so many hits from a guy like Samoa Joe.
That is true. I can see that argument. My thought on that is, well, let me read this one first because it kind of ties into that too. Kick it. This is from Hey, Kevin, what's up, buddy? How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Well, hey, our main topic of conversation we just got into is Hook kicking out of the muscle buster at one. Because
I'm dragging my camera set up here. I don't know if I look weird to you guys or not.
It's fine. You're making me nauseous. Yeah, you're sideways, but it's okay. You're totally sideways right now. Yeah. There you go. That's the way.
Fair not be.
All right. Okay. So we're talking about Hook kicking out of the muscle buster at one, and how the internet wrestling community is up in arms about this. Like, they are more pissed about this than I think anything else. It's not that he kicked out of it. It's that he did it on the one count. I think that is the point of contention for everybody.
Okay, so that was one of my things I wanted to talk about, too, was, like, that, like, and I saw your comment today, too, and I totally agree with you. I'm just like, listen, it was only a 9-minute match, but, like, it was, I don't want to say beautiful, but it was such a tremendous 9 minutes of a main event. You know what I mean? Like, and the fact that people are, that's the only thing they're talking about with that match, like, just is taken away from it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, because they're like, oh, it doesn't make Samoa Joe look strong. Like, so what? Like, you're trying to build Hook.
Right. Samoa Joe already is strong. Like, there's no denying Samoa Joe. Like, at this point, if you're a wrestling fan and you know who Samoa Joe is, you know who Samoa Joe is, and you know that Samoa Joe is one of the most believable guys out there. So this really doesn't hurt him at all. Here, let me read this one. I was in the middle of reading some of these tweets on X that I found just absolutely fascinating. Kicking out of the Muscle Buster. This is from Slappa Wrestling. I want to make sure everybody gets their proper credit. At Slappa underscore WWE. Kicking out of the Muscle Buster at one is lame. This is the same move that put down guys like Kurt Angle. So are you telling me right now, this is basically what that tweet tells me, that you can no longer go back and enjoy a Kurt Angle Samoa Joe match from TNA because Hook kicked out on the Muscle Buster at one on Dynamite last night?
I mean, it's different times. Like, that was 2007, 2008. Like, that's the way of anything. Like, people kick out finishers and stuff all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
which leads me, what's the point of a finisher? Finisher is to finish them. And if they're kicking out all the time, what's the point? It's just a regular move now. It's not a finisher.
I guess the way I look at it is that, yes, I agree. Like, I hate it too. Like, it's, you know, you knew when, like, Jake the Snake hit the DDT on somebody, like, it's over, right? But I guess the way I look at it is that, think of it from a story aspect, like, oh my God, he got a surge of adrenaline or something. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's kind of what the story was. And then when you kind of saw his reaction afterwards, like, that really was what it was. He had a little flurry after that, and then it was basically over. And, you know, and really the Coquina clutch is more his finisher than anything. Mm-hmm. Like, he finishes more people with that move than he does the Muscle Buster.
Yeah.
But Riley drew a comparison though too to on the Monday Night Raw show where Seth got smashed with the briefcase and then got hit with the Coloss and then still kicked out. Because, I mean, that seemed like that was going to be the end of that match, did it not?
I mean, that's you would think.
Right.
Yeah.
But then Seth hits the stomp on Jinder and it's just over. There's no, you know, there's no kick out after that. But I got one more I want to read because I got a comment after this one too. This is from the great Brian First. I don't know what that means, but I don't know if First is his last name or if he was the first Brian or if he's just the first great Brian. I don't know. But he said, Muscle Buster as a finisher is dead. It's like Bo Dallas kicking out of the F5 at one. Booker of the year, ladies and gentlemen. Good job, Tony Khan. Okay. Let me pull the curtain back a little bit. I don't work for AEW, but I know enough to know enough, and Tony Khan is not scripting these matches with them. Hook kicking out of that move at one is because Samoa Joe let him do it, and Samoa Joe probably told him to do it because Samoa Joe was trying to make Hook look like a star. That is why that happened. So if Samoa Joe, who has been doing this for, what, 30 years, 20-some years, and has done it at the height of his profession, he's been at the top of WWE, been at the top of TNA, about the top of AEW, stands to reason that he probably knows a whole lot more about what he's doing in that ring than any of us who are posting about it on X or talking about it on a podcast. So it stands to reason to me that Samoa Joe would have a better idea of what the fuck he was doing than what we do. Am I wrong?
No, and it's just one of those things that is completely blown out. Like I said, this one thing is the fact that anybody, like, when that happened, like, I, like, popped. Like, that's fucking awesome. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What about when Kenny did it? Kenny kicked out of the V-trick. Was it the elite, you know, the double knees from when we did that? Like, that, like, was one, it's, like, one of the best pops AEW ever had. So, like, I don't know, like, it's not like they do it all the time. This is, like, literally, like, probably one, like, the second time I've seen them really do something like this. And the match was so hot at that point, and the crowd was so hot, like, it just made it even better.
Well, and what made it better, too, was if you were listening to the commentary, Hook's dad is in commentary. Yes. And he made that match so much better just with his reactions to things. And when Joe hit that muscle buster, Taz was in the middle of saying, you know what, it's over. He put up a great fight. I'm super proud of him, you know. But, and then he kicked out. Like, it was just, the timing of what he was saying worked so well with that kick out that it just, it just added to it. So it kind of put the icing on the cake.
So why aren't people pissed that when he did the Irinagi through the announce table, which was like very vicious looking, and then Hook just rolled over and gave him the double bird. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Why? Just because he didn't?
Well, yeah. I think that's part of it. Like some of the tweets had a lot to do with no selling. Like he, you know, they basically said like, oh, Hook, you know, didn't sell a lot of Joe's offense and made him look blah blah blah. And it's like, dude. But he did, but at the same time, though, he did, because if you look at Hook and you see how he was throughout that match, he was visibly selling injuries throughout the entire match. So maybe it wasn't like your traditional, like, oh, I'm going to hobble on my knee type thing. But he didn't look, even in his comebacks, he didn't look refreshed. He looked like he was surviving. And I think that's what the difference is, because if you look at his facial expressions, which I thought he did a great job with, and you look at, you know, his body of work, and he's literally throwing his entire body at Joe to do damage to Joe. Kind of similar to how Darby Allin does it, since he, you know, being a smaller guy, how he kind of just throws his body into people. But yeah, like even the clotheslines, like he's diving into the clotheslines. He's not just hitting them with a standing clothesline.
Yeah, so surviving was the key word that you said. Surviving. So if he would have kicked out at 2.9, he's surviving.
Right.
Right now at 1, he's thriving.
But the way
there,
that
so there is a difference, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. But there is a difference between 1 and 2, and it's a big difference.
It is, but the way that he popped up, though, it just, like, he just had that, like, sudden urge of, like, I'm not done yet, but then, you know, Joe inevitably proved, yeah, you are done. You know what I mean? Like, he just kind of had that, it was, like, kind of that last, it was like that, oh, what's a good comparison? Like that, man, I'm trying to think of, like, a movie comparison to, like, somebody that just all of a sudden like has a burst of adrenaline and then just dies. Like almost like, I mean, I could make some Game of Thrones comparisons with Jon Snow, but he survived everything. But, you know, like, but almost like the, you know, the Battle of the Bastards when he's like buried under all the dead bodies and like, he's almost dead and all of a sudden he's pulled out and then he's got this, you know, rush of adrenaline and he's up against all odds and stuff like that. Like that's,
but it's kind of similar. Two, he's not pulled out at one.
Although I'll say too, like I liked. Do you guys see Hook's promo in the snow, like leading up to the, when he was eating the slice of pizza and stuff, or whatever? Like I thought that was cool. Like I hope, I wish and hope AEW does more things like that, and like the words he expressed and said in it too, like basically like, yeah, I ain't gonna fucking win. You know what I mean? But
I got nothing to lose. Like I thought that was going after it. Yeah. So, and then, you know, and the other thing that people were making comparisons to is the, somebody had posted something about like a rating, like a demo rating for the match between Hook and Joe versus the match between Jinder and Seth, and trying to compare the two, like they're the same, like Hook, like Jinder and Seth weren't going up against an NFL playoff game on the same night. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same. You're two different nights. You can't compare ratings. This isn't the Monday Night Wars. Like, you can't say, oh, this match clearly was better because it did a better number than this match. Like, there's so many factors that go into that. It's ridiculous. Like, how people hang their hats on shit like that is beyond me. But, so yeah, before that, we were talking about R-Truth. Did you catch some of R-Truth on Monday night?
Did you guys catch any of the things, the photos of him and Dom and Nick? Okay.
No.
There's more out there or whatever. I think there was, like, I thought there was going to be a shirt made or something like that, but, like, I caught a little bit of it. So, good stuff.
So, is it Dom and Nick? Or is it Tom and Nick?
I think it's Tom and Nick. Ways. Yeah, I have seen it both ways too. Yeah, but
I don't know which one's right.
I did just find a photo with a really young Dominic.
That's on the one side, Nick.
And then standing, and then Truth in the middle. Who he clearly photoshopped himself in there too. So.
You know, when he was giving him the money, he should have said, now this part is for Nick. Make sure he gets it.
Right.
I think that would have been.
And did you notice that he was added to the graphic, Kevin?
Yes.
You know, the Judgment Day graphic.
No, I love it. It's just, like I said, it's almost like we said before. It's almost like a mock of the Bloodline, but like kind of like a parody of the NWO. It's their own Blue World Order. And it's good because it's... Not saying Judgment Day was getting stale, but you could feel like it possibly could at some point. And
I said it was getting stale.
Yeah, Kevin.
Riley, so Riley definitely this, said it was. You know, something a little bit, you know, this just kind of breathes a little life into it. So,
yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So. You said that the Samoa Joe Hook thing was one of the things you wanted to talk about.
Well, first of all, I really, I don't know if you guys caught the Mark Briscoe coming out last night.
Oh, yeah. That was
awesome.
That was really touching.
Jay's kids out there and everything, especially talking about how the doctors, I didn't know the doctors told the daughter that she probably never walk again. And she walked out to the stage. So that was awesome. That was like a cool, about three, four minutes or whatever. So I thought that kind of caught me off guard. Like, I knew it had been 1 year, but that kind of, the whole, that whole thing, especially the kids coming out, kind of catch you off guard. So that was pretty cool. Well, we'll get to, there was one thing I want to talk about. It's kind of like Raw related. It's actually Seth related.
We don't really have a format
I'll just finish AEW real quick. So like last night with... Jay White and the Guns went in the Ring of Honor 6-man tags. I'm just hoping that this leads to some kind of like, obviously you can see some kind of match with the Acclaim. So hopefully there was some kind of like unification, undisputed 6-man, just because let's get rid of some belts anyway.
No, we're getting the Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
Oh my god, that'd be funny if it was all we'll six of them and they just all combined, like anybody could defend any of the belts at any time.
That would be crazy. I've been noticing a little bit of, I think it's Austin Gunn. Which one was it? One of the two is like kind of like been inching closer to Billy. And like
that's being, Austin, yeah.
Yeah, so that's Austin is a shorter one. So he's been more hesitant to, like, you know, it's almost like he wants to reconnect with his dad, but then he's pulled away from the other ones and stuff.
Yeah, so that was just a real quick thing, but not really a discussion or anything. I actually thought Dynamite was pretty decent show last night. The Christian Cage Dustin match for two old veterans, I thought was a hell of a match. Mm-hmm. I feel like, was there something else from that show I wanted to talk about, but I don't think so. So no, the Seth Rollins, supposedly he might be legit injured. So
I heard that too. Yeah, I guess said like an ankle or leg injury or something like that.
Not really a discussion or anything like that. It just kind of was like, oh man, like, you know, being the champion this long was, you know, I just wonder what they're going to do. You know what I mean? Like, are they still going to make him last till Mania? You know what I mean? Like, so.
I guess it depends on how serious the injury is. Like, if it's, you know, if he can't go physically, then they're going to have to figure something out.
I think if he can't go physically, the only solution is to have Damian Priest win it.
Yeah.
And then go from there.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I mean, that would make the most logical sense.
What if let's say he's seriously injured and they decide, you know what, let's just put the WWE Championship on the line in the Royal Rumble. So the winner of the Royal Rumble is the new
World Champion.
The new what is it? World Champion? Yeah. So put the World Champion.
I honestly hate that so much.
Hold on. Okay, so the person who wins is standing there celebrating after probably going from like, you know, two to the end or whatever. And then all of a sudden, then Priest cashes in and beats the guy up and then leaves.
I mean, that would be unexpected. Especially if, here's the thing, especially this is how I maybe kind of would spice that up a little bit. I do like that idea of, you know, I know Riley hate that, but honestly, let's face it. When Flair won the Rumble in 92 and the winner was going to be, like, that's probably the greatest Rumble ever. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of the greatest Rumbles ever. And it has, like, you know what I mean? Like, as far as cast characters and whatnot. So, and that was awesome. Because especially when Flair came in at 3, right? So, I do like that. But, like, I would put, like, make sure Priest is in the Rumble match. And then maybe he comes back and cashes in.
Yeah, like, he gets eliminated.
Or even if he gets eliminated at the end.
So Riley, why do you hate that so much?
I wouldn't be upset with that, but I always liked I'm going to WrestleMania, main eventing, and then just the stories leading up to that.
Well, I mean, you're the champion.
Yeah, you're not.
You could branch out to where you could really get some good, like, maybe chamber matches. To where, like, one chamber is to go after Roman's title, maybe. And then another chamber is, like, number one contender for the world title.
Yeah, but then are you going to do a women's chamber, too? Because that's like, four chambers.
It's all right. TNA used to do Ultimate X. The Steel Cage. Yeah, no, every match was
the Steel. Yeah.
So...
Which everyone agreed was a terrible idea.
I think the chamber match this year is going to be for the IC title.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
And I think Uso is going to win it.
All right.
I think Gunther is going to lose his title in the chamber.
That would make sense.
I know we're way off on that, but that is my prediction.
Yeah. Hey, let's move back.
No, that's fine.
Let's go ahead, Kev. What were you saying? I was gonna say let's spin back to AEW for just 1 minute, because I wanted to bring this up and get your guys' opinion on it. How about the Young Bucks and their mustaches diving into being the EVPs and ridding, you know, AEW?
I love it. The people that don't Matthew and Nicholas.
You like the?
I like it. It's refresh. Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, and it makes you hate them even more than you already do, but it also kind of makes you like them a little bit because I like it. I'm all about, especially like reinvention of certain characters, like the people that really need a fresh start or whatever. So I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Kevin, Jason won't say this, but he keeps pointing to your microphone cord. You're rubbing.
Thanks, Riley.
So, So Jason's making weird hand gestures on the screen, and I'm just uncomfortable with it right now. So I'm just gonna say
I can't avoid it. I don't know what to do.
It's just rubbing against your beard.
All right, like, well, I'll make sure I gotta cut my hair and trim my beard this weekend, so I'll make sure, you know, sure it's trimmed down. I could. See, I just gotta do this. If I do this,
gotta kind of just keep it out.
I can still hear you guys. I just look weird.
That works. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
But it doesn't make the noise.
I'll just do this the whole time.
So
I'll just the whole show, or and not stop. See if I can go another 30 minutes. Yeah,
that works.
How uncomfortable are you now, Riley? Now, if I wasn't holding my phone, I'd be double fisting it right now.
And thanks to Riley, the show is called "Pulling Out at 2". So, appreciate you contributing a show title for us. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. I like the heavy story. The only thing that really didn't make sense to me during the whole thing is that they claim they want to rid AEW of Sting. Well, he's fucking leaving anyway. So why did you pick till he announced his retirement to rid AEW?
I think that's what's hilarious about it too.
We'll show them.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you think they're that meta about it? Like that was
that they're going to be the ones that rid, like that. That's how arrogant and cocky and overbearing that they are. Is that they know he's leaving, but they're going to be the ones to be a part of it, type thing or whatever. Like it's exactly the reaction you just had. Like, wait a second, all right, but they are leaving. Okay. He is leaving. So,
okay, all right. All right, I'll give them credit for being that smart. We'll see if that's the case. I guess it'll be interesting to see, like, if Sting and Darby win, and then, you know, Sting still retires. So do they come out then and cut the promo like, see, we drove Sting out of here. Like, so I guess if they lean into it that way, that'd be a good way to go. But anyway, all right. I'm trying to think if there's anything else on Raw. I mean, Cody McIntyre segment at the beginning I thought was pretty good. How about the, like, CM Punk posting a video on his Instagram saying, hey, Cody, why haven't you asked me what I want to talk about yet? So setting up a confrontation between the two.
I like, did you guys week, I think that's catch Randy Orton on the bump? And they asked him about CM Punk. He said they shook hands. They gave a quick little hug when he first saw him. He said it was a shock, but it was good to see him. He's like, God knows I've done bad things in the past. He says, I'm not perfect. I'm not the same man I was. And he's like, just talking to him. He's like, he's definitely not the same person he is. He's like, I'm glad he's here. And, you know, he's going to be good for business. So, seems like they're in good spirits terms. So,
all right.
Oh, I do like that from SmackDown too. The 2-on-3 match. And what was Orton saying? He's like, look, we don't have to like each other, but we got to take them out or whatever. Take his fat ass out. Take his ass out. Yeah. They did the old Sheila powerbomb. So that was good. I really dig this. Yeah, like,
that was cool.
Especially, I mean, again, I think we talked about, they're like, you know, what a great job they did, like, making this a four-way dance. Because, like you said, if, like, somebody like LA Knight's in the Rumble doesn't win, that could be disappointing. But I'm really digging, like, AJ's character. You know what I mean? Like, again, AJ is another guy that we don't know, and nobody talks about enough about reinventing themselves as well. You know what I mean? Like, he definitely went through, he had some different, like, character changes in TNA as well. And this is almost kind of, you know what I mean? Not wearing his normal gear, just wearing, like, black pants. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, he doesn't get enough credit. And the fact that he's, like, what, 46 or 47 years old,
is incredible too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really digging.
Yeah, without doubt.
This AJ, yeah. Kind of like the Drew. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. Like, you know, black jeans, black boots. He has the black coat on. Like, just very, very darker version of him. And there really hasn't been too much of the Good Brothers, unfortunately. Like, I feel like the Good Brothers, we need to see more of the Good Brothers. Even if it's just backstage segments, like, those guys are so entertaining and so funny. Like, they just need to have something to sink their teeth into. Like, I have a hard time believing there isn't a writer in WWE that could come up with something for these guys to do. Like,
mm-hmm.
They don't even really need a writer. They can just do their own shit. Like, I don't know if you've ever saw this, but their last run in WWE before they got fired, they had a show. It was like a botch show. So it was like a clip show of like botches and like wrestling history and WWE history, stuff like that. That was hilarious. And I, even thinking back to that, their feud with the New Day when they did the doctor segment, when they had Big E's balls in a jar, like that shit, I thought that shit was hilarious. I know some people are like, eh, whatever, but dude, they're just so entertaining. I love those guys, but AJ, to his credit, like, this version of AJ kind of needs to be on his own. And I like this kind of, you know,
yeah,
almost outlaw version of AJ Styles.
It's way, not like,
right. It's kind of,
like, yeah, it's not quite like,
I guess it's the only way I can kind of describe it.
And I just, from seeing it in the clips and whatnot, like he had this character in TNA where he almost like went to the dark side. Like he's still like dressed like AJ Styles and stuff. But, like, he started, like, growing his hair out long and kind of growing his beard out. You know what I mean? Like, he always had – remember early AJ Styles? The short tights and, like, the, you know, I mean, like, he had the short hair, very clean cut, everything. But then at one point in TNA, when he started kind of going to, like, the gear he has had with the gloves and, like, he started growing his – that's when he first started growing his hair out. But he would always wear the, you know, sleeveless jacket with the hood. But he kind of had, like, this dark, like – character. It was almost like somebody that was like going through a personal situation, like whether it was like drugs or something like that or whatever, and then like kind of like darks, like, you know what I mean, like started having demons basically. And then he kind of got away from that, but like, not to say like this is like that at all, but this is kind of just like you said, like an AJ, it's like whatever, I'm just showing up, I'll just, you know, wearing the pants I'm wearing and here I am. And it's weird, you know what I mean? Like, where it's going to go, I don't know, but.
He's there for one thing, and that's revenge. He doesn't care who he's got to go through to get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's very, very astute. I think that's pretty much dead on right now. I don't think we'll really see until this story of his is over, or until he kind of moves past what he's doing right now, I don't think we'll really see the true evolution. I think Riley's right. Right now, he's just out for revenge. And
Oh, speaking of, I mean, we might as well jump around again. Speaking of TNA, they had a pretty good weekend with, you know, we talked about last week, the debut of their new belts and going back to TNA, and they had a pretty good little show. Nick Nemeth showed up. Apparently he's signing the former Dana Brooke, now Ash by Elegance, sign.
Yeah, a lot of people have drawn comparisons.
Yeah, but it's not really. It's not like a movie character, like old timey. It's just somebody who's I don't know. I mean, it goes.
She went to TNA.
Oh, no,
I was
no, no.
She went to
MMA. She went to TNA. And she.
And I'm like, huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And she officially assigned, too. So, I mean, she looks good. She's like. Looks like.
Yeah.
She's always been very muscular, but like, she actually looks like pretty trim. You know what I mean? But I like it. I mean, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this might be something to where it's like, this is her. Yeah. This is her real character. You know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't mean that like she can't ever like, you know, she's still young enough, obviously, to like go back one. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like it's like another Drew McIntyre situation. Yeah. Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She needed a change.
Yeah, and I don't think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not like a Toni Storm thing. I think it's just like a kind of like I'm just, you know, I'm a like trophy wife or something, or you know what I mean? It's no.
Yeah. That's the way I took it. Is it's just, you know, she's just radiating this elegance and whatever, like dressing, you know, dressing super nice and just carrying herself a different way. It's not like the camera's going black and white when she's on it. It's not like the, you know, it's not the same thing. Like women, there are more women than Toni Storm will dress a certain way or wear their hair.
Yeah,
maybe it's the hair. The blonde hair, how it was kind of in curls or something. Maybe that was it. But even Toni, like, Toni doesn't really wear elegant clothing. She mostly wears, like, black tights, a sports bra, and, like, some sort of, like, like robe type thing. And
she's not wearing a mink. That she throws at
people. Always, so it's not like she's dressed like, you know, right. So. But yeah, you know, they did have they did have some, and then like top AJ Francis, formerly Top Dollar, showed up at that show too. I heard him in an interview with Road Dogg, actually had him on his show, and he was like, "I'm going to be everywhere." He goes, "I like he's not signing with anybody in particular. Like he literally is just planning on showing up everywhere and anywhere, whether it's GCW, whether it's TNA. He might even pop in on AEW. He might even pop in." Like he said like a number of times, I'ma be everywhere. Like, and he really wants to prove himself because he feels like he's gotten kind of the short end of the stick. Like he did because of one move, that dive over the top rope that Michael
good for him. And it's good that like a lot of these companies are just kind of like
for that.
Allow like certain people just free reign stuff. You know what I mean? Like obviously Nick Nemeth. This looks like he's signing with TNA, but like he's I'm sure he's going to work New Japan because, you know, that's the great thing about New Japan is that they have deals with AEW, they have deals with, you know, TNA. Like Night 2 had, you know, Okada was on there and a few other Japanese stars were on the show and like some six mans and stuff. Or Will Ospreay was on, you know, finished out some bookings and stuff. So, that's, you know, that's cool. Like, so,
yeah.
We did not, because I did bring that up.
Did we talk about Jack Perry showing up at the New Japan show?
The whole scapegoat thing. So,
Well, he said something into the camera, too. So, Riley, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Jack Perry, aka Jungle Boy, randomly showed up at an AEW show. I think he attacked somebody, and then he stood in the ring. He didn't say anything like on a microphone, but he mouthed in the camera something like, "Don't you wish you picked up my call?" And then when he was in the ring, he took out this like sleeve and put it over his jacket, but it said scapegoat on it. And then he took his AEW contract out and tore it in half. So, but my question is, New Japan has this partnership with AEW we all know about. Him showing up in New Japan, like I feel like this might be more of a work, like of a way of bringing him back in. Like I don't know. Like I don't know if this is a character driven thing for him.
Like I don't know if I call New Japan like a partnership. I would call it like an open maybe deal. It is. You know what I mean? Like to where like you know what I mean? Just like I said, I just feel like, you know, especially if they have like TNA people come in here, there, whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know. You know,
but if yeah, in this situation, it could Jack be at the moment. Yeah, they're looking for a way to reintroduce him.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know. What do you think, Riley? I know you don't know too much about it, but you know, do you think this is something more
with them? Yes.
Yeah.
That's some type of work.
All right. So I guess that's gonna be a maybe a question for everybody out there. If you think Jack Perry is really done with AEW, let us know. Hit us up on X at Live Your Gimmick. That's the at symbol followed by LIVYOUR.
Oh, one last thing with TNA. They did announce also a deal. They are doing an actual legit partnership with AAA Mexico, which is big because it just, I think it helps because, you know, them financially, both companies financially, because AAA Mexico obviously does really well, especially in Mexico, financially, but it could be a good thing, you know, to see some different stars, you know, in America, you know what I mean, on the show, that maybe somebody gets discovered, you know what I mean? Like, so they did announce that, like, they have a full-on fledged partnership with them, so anybody that cares about that.
All right, cool. All right. Crickets. No. Thank you for sharing. One quick note on NXT before we go. If you have not gotten a chance to see the backstage segment with Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker, a.k.a. the Wolf Dogs, please go watch that because that shit was great.
Yeah, she's
and,
out of year.
Bad news for Cora Jade. She tore her ACL at what do they call them, the coconut shows or whatever. Yeah, that sucks for her.
Dude, speaking of ACLs real quick, too, did you guys see any latest videos of Charlotte Flair, like, in her rehab? She's 2 weeks out from her surgery. She is already doing leg presses. Like...
Yeah, that would explain. So that guy on X, Kenny, for your thoughts... He posted a picture of John Cena when he returned in the Royal Rumble with Charlotte's head over.
Dude, like, over, and she had, like,
and he's like, basically, like, we're not too far off from this.
Pretty bad, like, terror. And, but yeah, like, she wasn't doing much weight, but she was doing very slowly. But the fact that she's only 2 weeks off and she's doing stuff like that, that's pretty incredible. So, and, you know, speaking of her, I really expect Andrade soon. I guess that's, like, almost pretty much a done deal, him back in WWE. Plus, I think Trinity's going to be coming back, too. Now she lost the title, I can see her back.
That'd be cool. Yeah, and I could see both of them being Royal Rumble surprises, along with maybe a few other people. I also see Andrade maybe being a part of the LWO storyline that they have going on. You know, he has that relationship with Selena Vega, and, you know, Carlito seems kind of in and out with that. Like, it's almost like that, you know, they want to do something with Carlito on his own, maybe. But Andrade,
I tell you what, real quick though, I really starting to think and believe now, like, there.
And man,
Mercedes is going to be the number 30 entrant. Or Sasha Banks. Yeah. Especially her and Baylor were at the TNA show.
I think she's coming back to WWE, too.
Watching Trinity, I don't see... This whole, like, oh, she's signed with AEW, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And you know, that would be another female faction to go up against Damage Control if you have Trinity, Bayley, and because you know Trinity's gonna be on SmackDown because Jimmy's on SmackDown, so you have Trinity, Bayley, and Sasha on one side, and then you got Damage Control on the other side. That'd be a hell of a feud back and forth. That'd be fun to watch. Oh, speaking of factions, real quick before we finish up. The faction on SmackDown that features Karrion Kross and the AOP revealed their name as the Final Testament. Thoughts on the Final Testament as the name for this faction?
Yes, that is a name.
Is it too close to Judgment Day?
Like, it is it too?
It's
very
yeah,
close,
it is
yeah.
quite similar.
It's very similar.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like almost like copying homework in a way. Like I feel like the teams are vastly different. Like it's a different dynamic. You know, especially because you got, you know, Paul Ellering, you got Scarlett in there, which Scarlett's more. I know Scarlett can wrestle. I wish they would, like, I want to see Scarlett in the ring more. Like, I think that's something that we need to see in 2024. Like, there's no reason that Scarlett cannot be a part of the women's division. I don't know if you've ever, like, heard, if you don't know who she is, just Google Scarlett Bordeaux and watch, like, her indie matches. Like, she can go. Like, she knows what she's doing in the ring. So I'm a little surprised that she hasn't had that opportunity yet. But, you know, AOP, you know, already an established tag team, and then you got Cross that's already established at single star. So it's a little bit different than how Judgment Day is, could, you know, build up, but still kind of similar name. Like, it's just kind of weird to me, but I guess, you know, time will tell, you know, and maybe Judgment Day is due to maybe end soon. So maybe, you know, it won't matter because the
comparison, at least it wasn't negotiation night or something like that.
Both factions, but who knows? Yeah. Yeah, it could have been worse. It really, they could have come up with worse names. I'm not gonna lie. Really could have come up with worse names. But yeah, man, that's all I could really think about. I know next week's gonna be fun because, you know, that's we probably won't, you know, for anybody that's a big AEW fan, we probably won't talk a whole lot of AEW next week because it's gonna be mostly dedicated to the Royal Rumble. We usually do, you know, I'll have some, you know, kind of like some prop bets. Like we'll take our guesses at what's going to happen, and we'll each get a chance to say like who some of our surprises we think are going to be and stuff like that. We have our Gimmick Minute Live and Worldwide Championship, which is hanging up on my wall, and you know, we'll have that on the line for the Royal Rumble, so we'll be able to, you know, put in what we think is going to happen. And I also, there's another account that I've worked with a little bit, Wednesday Night Wallop. I participated in their trivia podcast one time. And, you know, we share things theirs back and forth. They share our things, ours back and forth. But they actually have like a Google Doc where they have like a whole thing. So I'm thinking like we'll enter it as Gimmick Minute, like all of us together. And maybe we'll all pick.
So we're gonna have to. Am I gonna have to create?
We'll kind of.
Am I gonna have to create the like Gimmick Minute World Trios titles?
Maybe we'll do that next week.
Go against these people.
Well, no. This is the thing they do. So they have people from all over that kind of get into this. So it's not like a back and forth with us and them. It's something that they put out for any of their listeners and anybody that wants to do it. It's almost like kind of like an NCAA bracket type thing.
I was just trying to
get everybody's,
find,
you
some
know,
time to create some more.
See who gets the most accurate and stuff like that. So
they would,
I
not
mean,
be called trios.
You need an excuse to create the horrible trios name titles. I'm sorry, Kevin. You can yeah, take that as an excuse to do that. Mm. Yeah. six man. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you got to make it. You got to make it neutral for today's generation. It'll be the sixth person. The six people championship match now, or the three people championship match. All right. Well, hey, that's all I got for this week's episode. Unless you guys have anything that you want to contribute before we
Kevin,
I'm glad you're able to join us. Thank you for hopping on. Hopefully your wife's not too bad.
Not feeling good, but then start feeling better, and you know, was able to get home and, you know, rushed and got on here. So I'm glad I was too. So no, I didn't take care of this.
All right. So you took. So basically, come what you're on saying is you took care of business and got on the come podcast.
On. Oh, she went. Oh, but she wanted to say though, real hey, quick, hey, she wanted Kevin, me to ask you. I'll ask you live here on air because I said, "Well, I think anyway, I'm gonna go record all right, whatever." She's like, "Oh, okay. You know what? Ask Jason how old I am." But he doesn't even know. And I'm like, "He should know how old you are." So, Jason, how old is Morgan Turney today?
I mean, either be 40 or 41.
No, 41
I can't
today
remember if she's a year older or a year younger. I'm going to say that she would have turned 40 today. Oh, it was 40. Okay, all right. So 40 was last year. All right. So I was in the ball, but like I couldn't remember if she was slightly older or slightly younger. I thought she was slightly older.
Well, so the funny thing is, I mean, she's only, head, you know,
I would have said like 41, but
2 months older than us.
I wasn't that confident. And, to,
but know. I gave her shit for 2 months of her being older. So, yeah. Right. She loves it.
Being older, yeah.
Yeah. So old.
Well, happy birthday to Morgan. So.
Until then, but, Morgan, you're yeah, so old.
Right. Well, we'll be there in a couple weeks, so. All right. Hey, thank you guys for listening. This week's episode of the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. You can find us on your favorite podcast app of choice. Doesn't matter if it's Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. You can just search Gimmick Minute. You'll find us. You can find us on other social media platforms like YouTube and TikTok just by searching Gimmick Minute. And in addition to that,
thank
that's
you
really
for
all about that. That's all I got to say about that, really. So until next week, when we preview the Royal Rumble, I'm super excited for the Royal Rumble. I cannot wait. It's my favorite pay-per-view of the year by far. So, you know, hopefully it ends up being a good one. But so until next week, I'm Jason, Kevin, and Riley, reminding all of you beautiful, beautiful wrestling fans out there, just don't worry about Hook kicking out at one. All right? Just be a fan. And live.
It should have been two. It should have been two.
Just with make sure you two. Pull out a two. Because if you don't pull out a two, you end up, you know, with two. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
That got awkward at the end.